Hey, well, there it is, a song for you by Stevie Wonder. Many thanks indeed to AJ on our final hour here on Radio Nordsee International. I suppose it'd be better if we took the microphone down here and pass it along here. It's 29 minutes now to the hour of 12 midnight here on Radio Nordsee International. This is yours truly, Daffy Don Allen, along with...
Brian McKenzie. it's a very, very difficult at times, isn't it? We were talking about Don and I before we came on to do the show for a close down. I've never had to do a close down on a station before. When I was... The last radio station I worked in, it closed and I was off the ship. And with Don, I think it's been the same.
Well, actually, with me, the first time we sort of envisaged a shutdown, I was very, very lucky indeed. I did the final country and western jamboree on Radio Caroline North, and then, of course, lo and behold, unbeknown to us, in the middle of the night, we were towed away. And with Manx Radio, I spent about 7 hours putting together a final hour, and then I decided the next day, it was on a Saturday, that I would do it live. So I've still got that tape at home. I've never ever really played it. It was all full of sobs and things like this, but it's terrible, really. Anyway, for those of you tuning in for the first time, I imagine there is quite a few listening in to...
Radio Nordsee International.
Just turn the switch on your radio. Come on and try and have a go. You'll hear the Brian McKenzie Show.
Oh, Jesse, you've no idea how Brian McKenzie turns me on.
Oh, beautiful. Brian McKenzie, along with yours truly here.
Radio Nordsee International.
Well, right now, I think I'll put on one of my favorite discs. I think this is one of your favorites, too. I think you'll get a laugh out of this, Brian.
Which one is it?
It's all about your girlfriend. Well, it's all about one of your girlfriends here, not your girlfriend. You're getting married soon, aren't you?
Yeah, very, very soon.
They say marriage has its ups and downs.
I see. Depends which way you look at it, I suppose.
Well, they say marriage has its ups and downs, Brian, but I found that most of them are in bed.
Big Fanny, she was big and she was bad. Big Fanny, she was also kind of sad. There wasn't anybody who could put Big Fanny down. She was big and bad and ugly, and she weighed 300 pounds.
She weighed 300 pounds, stood 5'5", and she had an odor more dead than alive. The black greasy hair on her dimpled chin, and her big belly rumbled like a lion's den. Big Fanny. No one knew who was Fanny's daddy. She turned up one day in a wet rice paddy, just looking stupid and standing stiff, and even the dogs refused to sniff a Big Fanny.
Big Fanny.
Some say she came from around Hanoi, where she got in a fight with some VC boys. She blowed her garlic breath in those VC's face, and they dropped like flies all over the place. Big Fanny. The cops finally put Big Fanny in jail, gave her 30 days and wouldn't set no bail. She gave a mighty belch and struck a match, and the gas blowed a hole through that booby hatch. Big Fanny.
Big Fanny.
Big Fanny was up in the mountains one night, a fighting a bear in the soft moonlight. The bear stuck a claw in Fanny's eye, and all of the people said goodbye to Big Fanny. But Fanny got tired of playing with that bear and grabbed two handfuls of his mangy hair. She gave a karate chop and a judo roll and knocked that grizzly critter out cold. Big Fanny.
Big Fanny.
Big Fanny hung around for a couple of years, smoking cigar butts and mooching beers. And then one morning she was up and gone, back to the jungle hunting Viet Cong. Big Fanny. So along the roads in North Vietnam, there's trees a-growing with signs nailed on. When you leave this road, be careful, pal. Somewhere in them jungles is a big bad gal. Big Fanny.
Big Fanny. Big Fanny. She was big and she was bad. Big Fanny. She was also kind of sad. There wasn't anybody who could put Big Fanny down. She was big and bad and ugly, and she weighed 300 pounds. There wasn't anybody who could put Big Fanny down. She was big and bad and ugly, and she weighed 300 pounds.
story of one of my girlfriends there. But, anyway, 24 minutes now to the hour of 12 midnight here on Radio Nordsee International. I suppose it's right that we should actually let Brian do most of the talking here, because you're the old man of the station, really, aren't you? How long have you been on RNI, Brian?
In October, it would have been 3 years. So it's just about 3 years.
Oh, dang it. Can't we go on till October?
I don't
think that's a long, long time, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. That'd be nice, that, actually, continuing. I think maybe we'll carry on.
Actually, 3 years. 3 years on a ship is a long time, because I did 3 years on another radio ship. Although it doesn't seem like a long time, I think you'll agree. You know, the weeks on, the weeks off, the months, or the a month to you is sort of a spell on the ship and a leaf on shore, typical thing. And, Anyway, I'm sort of lost for words, and you being the old man of the ship, I think we'll let you do most of the talking here before we have our next record.
Okay, cheers, Don. And really, that is one thing that it's very, very true what you said about the time, how quickly it flies by. And it seems like, as far as I'm concerned, there's been no time since I first joined the station in 71, and it just seems to have flown by, really went past so very, very quickly. But during the 4 years that Radio Nordsee International has been broadcasting, there is one particular number which stands out, I'm sure, for lots and lots of the listeners, and we're going to play that now for you. It's instrumental music, and superb it is as well. It's from Waldis de los Reyes. Thank you.
very, very beautiful piece of music. Brian, what's the name of that, and what's the significance of...
Mozart 40 is the name. It's by Waldo de los Rios, and it was a smash play. The first one, actually, the Continental record.
Really?
From the station when it started way, way back, and it became a huge hit in Britain, and it was through Radio North Sea International. So that's something we've always been very, very proud of, and it's got a special memory, I think, for most of the jocks who've ever worked in the station, and to the listeners who've been with us more or less since the beginning. I'm sure there's a lot of them listening at the moment.
Yeah, I think at this particular time, probably, well, there's a chance that possibly Mr. Meister, Mr. Bollier might be listening. I think myself, it's true to say that Mr. Meister, Mr. Bollier have been through a lot of trial and tribulation. I think the station started, when was it, back in 69? When was it late 69 or was it 70 when it first started? A stormy history has followed, and we've survived through thick and thin. Well, I don't say we, because I disclude myself there, because I've been with the station less than 2 years, but the entire history of RNI has really had its trials and tribulations. Were you on board when some of the things that we won't talk about happened, you know, through the...
No, I missed the major events. I was here for, well, what for me was a rather trying time is when we broke our anchor and we ended up half a mile from the coast, and I think that was the most scaring thing that I've ever went through in my life.
You can't swim, can you?
Not one stroke. I just go down like a brick. And that didn't help matters at the time, but still, you look back on that, and although at the time, as I said, it was very, very frightening for everyone, disc jockeys from the English and Dutch service, and of course the captain and his crew, but we came through it, obviously, and we're still here, and now you can look back and think it was fun, although at the time, wow, you thought something else.
Yeah. I tell you, one of the finest times in my memory of RNI, I told you before that I went to Russia, to the Soviet Union, for a fortnight. And I didn't realize that, you know, once you get behind this so-called Iron Curtain, that very, very little, if any, news of the West, apart from major events, happened. And I don't know whether it was Leningrad or Moscow. I was there on a cultural exchange tour. And I was very, very bored with the Russian radio. I don't mean that in a vindictive way. It's just that I was missing all the pop tunes and things like this. And we were staying at a friend's house. I think it was Moscow. I'm pretty sure it was Moscow. And they had this old receiver. And I turned it on one night and put a piece of wire up to the radiator. And lo and behold, guess what I was listening to? Radio North Sea International. It was just barely coming through, and I could hear the tones of Stevie Merrick. So the very next day, I got a postcard of Red Square, and I sent it to Stevie saying, "You're coming in loud and clear." And that to me was, you know, I was trying to explain to these people in Moscow just what Radio North Sea International was. You know, it's a ship anchored off Holland, and no matter how much I tried to explain, I even had an interpreter who I thought could do a better job of explaining just what Radio North Sea is and what it's all about and things like that. And these people just couldn't believe it, you know, that we're broadcasting from a ship. They said, it is not possible, you know, here in the Soviet Union, kapow, up out of the water and back into the water and down to the ground. You know, you just don't do things like that. But it was very hilarious, you know, they just couldn't understand why. I suppose as people in Canada have asked me too, and in America when I was in Nashville last year, they said, you know, what is the purpose of broadcasting from a boat, man? There's so many hang-ups broadcasting from a boat, why don't you just come ashore? Things like this. I don't think people realize that, you know, the laws prevail over here, and so therefore you have to go to a ship and things like this. Even when I, back in 1964, I couldn't understand why they were broadcasting from a boat. Why didn't they just, you know, set up, apply for a license? But of course, there are different laws over here than there are in Canada and the States. What is your view of offshore radio and those things?
For me, it started way back in 64 when the stations were off Britain, and I was, like everyone else, a listener, because there were so many of them going around, and that's what got me into radio in the first place. It was just really, at first, a dream. I thought of becoming a disc jockey. I didn't really hold out much chance of ever becoming one, and well, as it turned out, I've achieved an ambition, which for me, it's got to be, I think, the happiest three years in my life.
In my recollection, you were destined, according to DJ and Radio Monthly, to be a farmer, I believe, weren't you?
I was.
Or is Dave Johns got his information correct?
No, that was correct. I was in farming. My parents have been in farming all their lives, and I was brought up on the farm all my life. So it was quite a change going from farming one minute, which literally it was when I did first start in 67 doing some radio, to being out on a boat in the middle of the North Sea, as it was then as well, and playing records and having to talk into a microphone, something I'd never done in my life before, but it was all worth it, and I wouldn't have changed that for anything.
Yeah, I know what I was going to ask you, Brian. Had you ever been, before working on Radio Scotland, the reason why I ask is because I found this rather strange at first too, had you ever been on a boat before? Well, never mind broadcasting, just had you ever lived on a boat before?
Never in my life, no.
Me neither. When I came over in 64, I took convulsions of all sorts of things. I was sick. I had, I really felt terrible. And thus I had to come off my first escapade off a ship anchored off the Frinton Essex coast. It was a case of necessity. The doctor said I had to come off. I was catching the flu and you name it, and I was catching it. I just wasn't born for the sea life. But I suppose it just takes a while to adjust yourself. But I'll never forget my first time on a ship. The only time I'd been on a boat before that was in a small rowboat, you know, in a lake, but never on a ship, man. You know, the salt water and the sea air and things like that, it does something to you. I think you'll agree there, won't you?
Yeah, in lots of ways. Lack of hair, for one. But I think it's time. If we get ourselves together, for lots of the people who have been listening, well, Nordsee has been on the go for 4 years. There's been many, many people work with the International Service since then. And we've got Andy Archer coming up in a few seconds' time, and he's going to tell you exactly how many people were on the ship.
On AM, FM, and shortwave, this is Music for Young Europe on Radio North Sea International.
I wonder how many of you know the number of people involved on this side of the operation over the 4 years. In German, you would say 51. In Dutch, you'd say 51. And in English, you'd say 51. So let's see how many of the names you can remember as we start right back in the beginning in 1970 with the three German language disc jockeys, namely Horst Breiner, Hannibal, and Axel. And then there was Vic Pelle, Eva Feister, Kurt Bauer, and Bruno Brandenburger. The first English disc jockeys to work on the station were Johnny Scott and Roger Day, and they were followed by Carl Mitchell, Mark Wesley, Spangles Muldoon, David Gregory, Stephen Ladd, David Rogers, Andy Archer, Alan West, Duncan Johnson, Michael Lindsay, John Denny, Rob Eden, Mike and Sheila Ross, Larry Tremaine, and then the friend of all the disc jockeys everywhere in the world, A.J. Behrens, Tony Allen, Martin Kane, Stevie Merrick, Ray Cooper, Ed Marino, Crispian St. John, Roger Kirk, Mark Stewart, Paul May, Brian McKenzie, Terry Davis, Arnold Lane, Don Allen, Steve Berry, Ian Anderson, Mark Slate, Steve King, Graham Gill, Terry Campbell, Robin Banks, Roger Kent, Jason Wolfe, Bob Noakes, Peter and Werner Hartwig, and Pierre Desain. And that totals to 51, all the people involved on the international side of Radio North Sea over the last 4 years. May I say thank you to Mr. Bollier and Mr. Meister for bringing me back into radio 4 years ago, and I always look back on my experiences on North Sea with a lot of pleasure, so thank you very much indeed, and best wishes to you and to all the disc jockeys on Radio North Sea International.
Radio North Sea International.
Well, in front of me, we have a clock and a slip of paper here. It's 9:30 to the hour of 12 midnight. And let's split this up, Brian, and read to the good people what this is all about. Starting off January 1970, first test broadcast came from RNI. The first two English DJs, as Andy has pointed out, were Roger Day and Johnny Scott. Broadcasting, this was on 186 meters. And then?
6 p.m. Saturday, the 28th of February, we had the official opening of RNI. That was 1970.
The 23rd, the 24th of March, 1970, Mebo 2 moved from the Dutch coast to the English coast. And
then we had 28th of March, 1970, the shutdown on 186 meters.
On the 10th of April, 1970, the return on 19 meters, followed a few days afterwards by jamming. Other wavelengths tried, 217 and 244.
Then we go to Sunday, the 14th of June, 1917. There was a big anti-jamming demonstration in London.
Followed on the 23rd of July, 1970, the Mebo 2 returned from the English coast to the Dutch coast.
And on Sunday, the 23rd of August, 1970, RNI changed to 220 metres which has been frequently used ever since.
On the 29th of August 1970, an attempt by Case Mondays to tow away the Meebo.
And on the 24th of September 1970 again, R&I closed down at 11 a.m.
On Friday, the 29th of January 1971, I first picked up R&I testing.
And then at 2 p.m. on Sunday, the 21st of February 1971, the second official opening of Radio North Sea International.
Saturday, the 15th of May 1971, of course, was that ill-fated firebomb attack on R&I.
And then we go to the 22nd of November, again 1971, and the Meebo 2 drifted in a gale and then got under tow by a tug, the Smitbank.
On Saturday, the 30th of September 1972, Nord Sea 2 tested on 192 metres. That was immediately after Radio Veronica went off the 192 metre band. Very interesting history, I must say. And I see that, speaking of history, there's not too much left of Radio Nord Sea apart from history, memories, very pleasant ones. And the time-wise coming up to almost 7 minutes, the hour of 12 midnight. And I think that I'd like to say how great it has been to have worked on Radio Nord Sea for almost 2 years, not quite 2 years. And I'm sure that you reiterate those words, Brian.
Very, very much indeed. I've said most of the things about this on my final show, which I done between 10 and 11. But as I said before, I wouldn't have changed it for the world. It's as simple as that.
Well, Brian, I don't know what else to say. I think we spoke about this last night. We said that the best way to get across the message to our audience is to let the music do it. I've got a piece of music that I'd like to send out to all the listeners listening in this evening, and it certainly conveys my message to each and every one of you.
And now the end is near, and so I face the final curtain. My friend, I'll say it clear, I'll state my case, of which I'm certain. I've lived a life that's full, I've traveled each and every highway, and more, much more than this, I did it my way.
On AM, FM, and shortwave, this is Music for Young Europe on Radio North Sea International.
Well, that was Don, and his way of saying thank you. In fact, it's just very, very appropriate as the seconds tick away, 5 minutes left of the international service. And then it's, as Don said once again, memories, and we hope that from our part, that as you, the listener, will look upon the memories as being happy ones, and that we've brought a little bit of happiness into your life, and maybe cheered you up when you've been down, and played music that you found pleasing to the ear. If we've succeeded in that, then I think we can all say to ourselves, well, it was all worth it. It's worth sitting on a ship, and everything we believed in is worth doing. I think you'd agree on that, Don.
Wholeheartedly. Just one person we haven't said hi to. I don't know whether or not she'll be able to pick us up this evening. From what I understand, she lives in Italy now. Perhaps she's back in Switzerland for the time being. And I must admit, jokingly, I've had my trials and tribulations with her. She's a very temperamental gal, Eva Pfister, if you're listening. Well, I don't think her name is Pfister now, is it?
No, she's married.
Yeah, she's married now. Anyway, Eva, if you're listening, a very good evening to you. And we hope that you're enjoying the final hour here on Radio North Sea International. I hope that sometime in the near future, perhaps myself or Brian will come across you again, and it'll be nice to talk about old times.
Definitely will be, because there's so many people who've been connected with the station. Vic Pelly, who was looking after us for some time, and then Eva from Zurich, and of course the two men themselves from Zurich, Mr. Meister and Mr. Bollier. And for them it's also, I know, very, very sad. So we're going to leave you with a piece of music, really, which to us is, well, very, very dear to us, and it's dear to Radio North Sea International, to most of you who've been listening. So, really, we're going to just say, Auf Wiedersehen, and bye-bye from every one of us on the International Service. This is Peter, and peace. Timing's time in Central Europe is now exactly midnight, and the International Service of Radio North Sea is now closing down.
It is Radio North Sea.
Auf Kurzwelle, Mittelwelle und UKW.
International.